satisfaction. The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is our hope of eternal life. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. We have a Savior who is able to save poor, wretched sinners like us. We don't need an example that we can't follow. We don't need a set of rules that we can't keep. What we need is a Savior that can lift us out of the miry clay of our sinfulness and set us upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Stand with me, if you will, for the reading of God's Word. Isaiah 53, beginning with verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Let's pray. Father, as we come before your throne, Lord, I thank you that Jesus died in my place, that he paid the penalty in full for my sin and my sinfulness, and that he offered to me salvation as a free gift. Lord, I pray that we would never forget the wonderful blessing that it is to be saved, to have eternal life. Lord, I pray if there's one here this morning that's never received Christ as Savior, that this would be the morning when you would speak to their heart, create faith within them through the hearing of your word, and then, Lord, that they might respond in faith, that they might be saved. Lord, I ask that you search my heart, remove anything that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit through me, and use me as your instrument. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus had to die on the cross for us because all of us are just sinful sheep. You know, it's not like there's some good and some bad. We're all bad. Every one of us. There's none righteous, no, not one. And so if Jesus is going to save us, he had to do all the work because we can't do any of it. As a matter of fact, there's going to be a lot of people in hell because they try to save themselves. A whole lot of people believe that if there's more good in their life than there is bad, that'll take them to heaven. But the truth is, if you're going to get to heaven on good works, you've got to go from the cradle to the grave without one sin. And nobody can do that. And so we are dependent upon a Savior who took all of our sins upon himself. Listen to what he says here in verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. Now that word all includes every one of us. We've all gone astray. Now you may think, well, I haven't gone as far astray as somebody else. Doesn't matter. See, with God, it's pass or fail. You're a saint or you ain't. And we all ain't. God has said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. I want you to get the picture here. Jesus took all of our sins. Let's suppose that this book contains every sin that I've ever done. It'd have to be in real small print. But that sin separates between me and God. God loves me, but he hates my sin. And so in order to save me, he took all of my sins and laid it on Jesus Christ. And he took all of your sins and laid it on Jesus Christ. Every member of Adam's race had their sins laid on Jesus Christ. the iniquity of us all. Same group. You see, we started out that all have gone astray, and it's the same group. All had their iniquities laid on Christ. That's important. Because Jesus came to save everybody. It's his desire that nobody perish, but that all should come to repentance. And he paid the way. He has salvation and offers it as a free gift. You see, here's the problem with us sinful sheep. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 23. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's the problem. Now, as a small boy, when I heard that I was a sinner, I said to myself, what I need to do is just clean my life up. I'm just going to cut this foolishness out. I'm just going to quit being a sinner. Problem is, I can't do that. Neither can you. We have a sinful nature. That means we're bent towards sin. And the only thing that can overcome that sinful nature is the grace of God. And so when I realized that, the only hope I had was to turn to Jesus. But thank God it was enough. And he can save even a sinner like me. And he can take an old sinner like me and through his grace cause me to be able to do things that my old flesh could never do. Because his grace is sufficient. Now I want you to see the practice of sin causes us to die spiritually. Now listen to this. Ezekiel 18 verse 4. Behold, all souls are mine. You see that? All souls are mine. This is God speaking. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Now, folks, that's known as the law of sin and death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. People who are born into this world have a live body, a live soul, and a live spirit. At the moment that we knowingly sin the first time, we die spiritually. We're still alive. Our mind, will, and emotion is still alive. Our body's still alive, but we're dead spiritually. That's the reason we have to be born again. And the spirit is what is born again. But you see, that law plagues a lot of people even after they're saved, making them doubt their salvation when they sin. But the truth is, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. I am no longer under that law. When my flesh sins, my spirit does not participate because it's sealed into the day of redemption. Folks, that's the only way anybody ever get to heaven, is that Jesus seals us and keeps us from ever being able to mess it up. If you could mess it up, you'd mess it up. If you could tamper with your salvation, it would last 10 minutes. Because you'd have a bad thought, you'd say a bad word or do a bad deed, and it's all over with. But the truth is, God has set you and sealed you unto the day of redemption so that that part of you that's saved can never sin again. 1 John 3:9. That's important, folks. That's the way we make it to heaven, is by God's saving grace sealing us. The penalty for our sins, you see, is death. The wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23, the first part. The wages of sin is death. We've all earned it, every one of us. And we die spiritually, but God has new life in Christ Jesus. Now let's look at the... I turned two pages here, bear with me. Let's look at the suffering Savior, verse 10 of our text, 7 through 10. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Jesus suffered on the cross. It was a suffering that no human will ever know. Because you see, even those people who go to hell will burn in hell for their own sins throughout all eternity, but it'll only be for their own sins. Jesus took all the sins of all mankind on himself and paid that debt that would have been mine, yours, and everybody else's in hell for all eternity, condensed down into 3 hours on the cross. That's some intense suffering. Listen to Matthew 26, 36 through 46, the agony that Jesus went through. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Jesus suffered in the Garden of Gethsemane. I believe that the suffering was that he was about to take all the sins of the world upon himself. Jesus, who knew no sin, was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Isn't that wonderful? For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see, Jesus had to become guilty of my sin. He had to become guilty of your sin. Somebody said Jesus was crucified without guilt. No, he had guilt. He had my guilt. He had your guilt. He was guilty. And there on that cross, God the Father poured out his wrath because of that guilt. The assignment that he leaves us here on this earth is that we are to share what we have learned with others, to tell other people how that they might have the same free forgiveness that we have. A whole lot of people in this world are hurting, trying to be good. They're working their way to hell, trying to have more good in their life than they do bad. But one day Jesus said, I will say to them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you. The key word there is work. You see, iniquity is self-will. It is trying to save ourselves. You say, well, I think you have to be good if you're going to go to heaven. The problem is you're not good. Jesus said, there is none good, no, not one. If you have to be good to get to heaven, heaven's going to be a lonely place. Because only God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit will qualify. We all are disqualified because we are not good. All of our righteousness is filthy rags before God. Even the things that we think are good are really evil because they come from an evil heart. But Jesus was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I'm going to tell you something, folks. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21 gives us our assignment. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Let's stop there a minute. Everything that has to do with our salvation, with our life, with our eternity is in Christ Jesus. Have you seen that? The way we get saved is we enter into Christ Jesus by faith. He has offered to us salvation by offering himself. And we enter into Christ. Now notice he says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What old things have passed away? It's not my sinful nature, still got that. What's passed away is my relationship to Adam. You see, in Adam, all die. And so that had to be terminated. So when I entered into Jesus, he became the corporate head rather than Adam. You see, when Adam was created, every member of Adam's race was created in Adam. And because we were in Adam, when Adam sinned, we all became sinners. When we enter into Jesus, Jesus on the cross has all of us in him. And so whenever we receive Christ as our Savior, he becomes our Father. And we now trace our lineage back to him, not to Adam. That old has passed away. Now the new is what's going to take us to heaven. And we have peace in him. Let's go ahead. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, and not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, understand what he's saying here. Witnessing is not somebody being eloquent and telling everything that the Bible has to say to convince people to be saved. Witnessing is just one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. We had a problem we couldn't solve. Jesus solved that problem. You have a problem you can't solve. Jesus can solve that problem. Anybody can tell somebody what Jesus has done for them. I don't know all that there is to know, but I know Jesus. And I know that whoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God wants to save all who will call upon him. You see, it's not a matter of us trying to beg God to save us. It's not a matter of us being worthy to be saved. Do you know there's nobody worthy to be saved? If we got what we deserve, we'd all go to hell. Nobody is worthy to be saved. Think about that. That puts us all in the same pot. We all need a Savior. And Jesus is able to save us, everyone. You say, Brother Allen, I don't think I could live up to it. You're right, you can't. I don't think I deserve it. You're right, you don't. But thank God you don't have to. Because if you had to, none of us would make it to heaven. You see, we're sinners. You have a beagle hound, and you say, I'm going to make a French poodle out of this beagle hound. Don't let a rabbit come by. Because he's a beagle hound again. Same thing with us. Our nature is to sin. If we try to work our way to heaven, the problem is sin comes by. And all of a sudden it appeals to us. The only way we're ever going to make it to heaven is to be able to be saved without participation. You understand what I'm saying? I cannot be good enough to get to heaven. But Jesus has been good enough in my place. You see that last verse? He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we who know no righteousness may be declared righteous. The moment I received Christ as my Savior, he declared me righteous. Was my flesh righteous? No. But I was declared righteous because he had paid the penalty for all my sins. The affliction, Matthew 27, 26 through 45. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed down the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. When they were coming to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, the place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garment, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there and set up over his head his accusation written, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. The thieves also, and also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. There were also which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The cry that Jesus cried was a cry of a forsaken son from his father. God the Father was not acting toward Jesus the way he always had. He was pouring out his wrath on his son. And Jesus, feeling all of that wrath, was broken over his father not loving him and protecting him. You see, the darkness veiled out the world. This was just between God the Father and God the Son. Our salvation was worked in that holy place, in that mercy seat. And God the Father poured out his wrath on his Son in my place and in yours. There was a tremendous amount of suffering that Jesus went through. But I want you to see that he was a satisfactory substitute. It's important. Listen to verse 11. He shall see. Now, let me give you the antecedents of these pronouns. The first he is God the Father. The second he, or his, is Jesus. Now look what he says. God shall see the travail of Jesus' soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. You see, God the Father had to be satisfied so that he could be just when he forgives us our sins. And so he poured out his wrath on Jesus until it was done. And Jesus said, when God the Father was satisfied, when the suffering ended, he didn't have to tell him that the suffering was over with. He knew it. And when the suffering was over, he said, it is finished. It's paid in full. All the sins of the world had been paid for at that moment, and he was satisfied on our behalf. That is a wonderful truth. By his foreknowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. He knew every sin that I was going to commit. You see, all my sins were in the future. All your sins were in the future when Jesus was on the cross. And so he paid the penalty for all of the sins. Even the ones you haven't done yet, they were all there. And he paid the penalty for every one of those sins so that now nothing can be charged to our account. You say, well, is it all right to sin? Sin's a foolish thing for you to do as a Christian. Sin always has a consequence. Have you noticed that? It's kind of like drinking poison. You drink poison, you die. Who would want to hang on to the thing that was destroying them? See, the wages of sin is death. The thing that kills us is sin. If we hang on to our sin, we're hanging on to the death that it brings. Every sin has a consequence. One of those consequences is not sending you to hell. That's a wonderful truth. I thank God that there's nothing that can ever separate me from the love of God. Redemption. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You see, when God saves us, it is through the substitutionary death of his Son. And his resurrection proved that God's wrath was satisfied. Jesus said, nobody takes my life from me. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again. This commandment have I received from my Father. You see, Jesus had no sentence of death in him because he never sinned. Because he never sinned, he could lay his life down. Did you know that what Jesus suffered before he ever made it to the cross would have killed most people? He was beaten. He lost a lot of blood. He was tortured. And there on the cross, the wrath of God would have killed most humans. But you see, because he didn't have the sentence of death in him, he could retain his life. As a matter of fact, when he had satisfied the wrath of God, he said, "It is finished." And then he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And he gave up the ghost. That's not the way we die. You see, those of us who are in these bodies, when we come to the end of life, we don't give up the ghost. We die. And when we die, our spirit leaves our body. But the truth is, Jesus was able to retain his spirit until all of the wrath of God was satisfied, and then he released his spirit and he died. Righteousness. Let's talk about that for a minute. Romans 3, 20 through 26. "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." Now, you know, if the world, 90% of the world, knew that one verse, they could save themselves a lot of trouble. Because 90% of the world is trying to work their way to heaven by the deeds of the law, trying to be good, at least having more good in their life than they do bad, and hoping that will somehow get them into heaven. But you see, the Bible says, "By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified." You know what they're saying? None of them is going to make it. They're all going to fail. If they just knew that, then they could start looking for a Savior. And Jesus, through the gospel, would save them. Let's go ahead. Verse 21. "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood." Now listen to this. "To declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God." To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. See, our righteousness has been declared upon us. We're righteous. We've been made righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. What about the resurrection? Jesus rose from the dead, and one day I'm going to raise from the dead. If he doesn't come back before I die. You know, the rapture is going to take place anytime. I don't know when, but it's going to take place. You know, the Bible says we won't know the day or the hour, but we can know the seasons. And we've stopped looking for signs. We're listening for a trumpet. When the trumpet sounds, then those of us who are believers are going to leave this world. But if we die, when he comes back, he's going to bring us with him. And we're going to come up out of those graves and be reunited with our spirit. And then all those that are alive and remain will be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We'll all be caught up together in the clouds with him. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's a wonderful truth. Listen to this. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Now notice, he's coming down from heaven, bringing them. That's where they're at. "For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Now I want you to know, not everybody who dies goes to heaven. The people who are trying to work their way to heaven, they're going to go to hell. The people who think they've got to live a certain way to get to heaven after they're saved, they're going to go to hell because their faith is not in Jesus. Their faith is in their good works. Jesus said, the way into heaven is narrow, and few there be that find it. But the way that leads to destruction is broad, and many there be that go in therein. Most of the people that we know in the world are going to go to hell. What is that narrow door? It's Jesus Christ. If you don't come by the way of the cross, you don't come. If you don't receive Christ as your Savior, you're not going to make it to heaven. I don't care how good you live. If you're here this morning and you've never received Christ as your Savior, I know that the devil whispers in your ear, yeah, but you can't live up to it. You're not a good person. You do a lot of sin. I'm going to tell you, here's the good news. Jesus came into the world to save us sinners. And he wants to save you. The Bible says that God is not slack concerning his promises to usward, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants to save you if you're lost this morning. He really wants to save you. He died to save you. And all he requires is that you trust him, that you believe that what he did on the cross was enough for you. You say, well, what if I sin tomorrow? You will sin tomorrow. And the day after that and the day after that. I'll tell you when you're going to quit being a sinner. It's when you finally leave this body. But as long as you're in this body, you're going to be a sinner. Understand that. Sin is going to hurt you. And as much as you can, get rid of the sin out of your life, but has nothing to do with your salvation. Jesus saves sinners. And Jesus keeps sinners saved. And if you have never called upon the name of the Lord, this is your day. God brought you here for this reason, to know that you can be saved. I don't care who you are, what you've done, or what you do tomorrow, Jesus will save you. He wants to save you. You don't have to beg, just call on his name. You say, Brother Allen, what would I say? You say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I believe that you died for my sins, you rose from the dead, and that you will save me if I call upon your name. You believe that this morning? If you believe that, and you've never called upon his name, call upon his name. If you believe that and you're a Christian this morning, you celebrate the fact that we have been delivered. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer.